In this DevLife edition of the Angular Plus Show, GDE and Senior Developer Advocate Martina Kraus joins from Germany to discuss information flooding, aka that constant feeling of needing to know everything and always feeling behind as a software developer. Whether perceived or real, how can you manage those expectations while also making time to take care of yourself? Grab some eggy noodles and get ready. This is The DevLife.
This episode is sponsored by This.Labs, the JavaScript consulting firm offering staff augmentation, on-demand subject experts, training, and much more. Discover how we leverage cutting-edge tools to promote the scalability and longevity of mission-critical technologies for some of the world's leading enterprises by visiting us at this.co. That's THISDOT.co.
Hey, Preston.
Hey, Brooke. How's it going?
Doing all right today. How about you?
I'm doing pretty good. Can't complain too much.
Nice. Hello, Martina. How are you?
Hey, I'm great. Thank you.
Yeah. So, okay, Martina, you are like an Angular contributor machine, I think. You're not only a full-time developer, but then you speak at events like literally all over the world. You're an organizer with NGDE and NG Rome. And NG, and sorry if I say this wrong, but Heidelberg.
Yeah.
And then you helped with, what's that?
Perfectly fine, yeah.
Oh, good. Right. But then you've also helped with NG Girls. And I didn't know this about you, but you're a lecturer at a University of Applied Sciences in Mannheim. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Okay, and to top it all off, you're a GDE in Angular. So like, that just makes me exhausted thinking about all of that. And it's way impressive, but I know you're also from Germany and that you enjoy teaching, but like outside of this, when you're not doing Angular, what's the number one thing that you'd say if you had some free time, what would you go spend a rare day off doing?
Yeah. First of all, thanks for the nice introduction. It doesn't feel like I'm a contributor machine because I always feel like I could do more. But aside of being all that and doing all that, I just love sports. I'm running marathons. I love swimming. I'm trying myself out and even doing a triathlon. I also really be careful to block my weekends to be free. Like spending time with my two cats and my partner to really have time off and not sitting in front of the computer. But then the five other days in the week, I'm really full-time the whole day throughout doing all of the stuff. But the weekend is like my holy weekend. I'm not doing anything, trying to do at least.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're actually the second person we've had on the show that's mentioned triathlon. So I think Preston, maybe you and I like need to get on this, but I'm not a very
I don't know
swimmer,
if I could do it. Yeah, I'm okay at swimming, but like doing a triathlon, I can't imagine actually any of the three parts of doing a triathlon. I can do like in small amounts, but I can't imagine doing an actual triathlon.
Yeah, so. Yeah. I could do the biking. I've got the biking down. The running and the swimming, I would be terrible at. But we need to have a triathlon that includes basketball, and then Preston would be like pro.
Yeah, if we could tie that in somehow, I could probably participate somehow.
That's awesome though, Martin. I didn't know that about you. I didn't know that you were so into sports. So have you actually run in an official race, or is it a goal you're shooting for?
Yes, I did already run, 11 half marathons and twice a marathon. But since you mentioned right now, I also played basketball for 20 years.
Oh, nice.
And that's why I'm already so much into sports and used to doing a lot of sessions throughout the week. There was in my best time when actually I played the second league as a professional, even.
Really?
I had 9 times and practice during a week. So I'm really used to doing a lot of stuff.
Wow. Okay. That's super cool. Impressive. Yeah, that is really cool. But all right. Well, we're really excited to have you on the show. Thank you for being here, first of all. But you're here specifically to talk about something that I think as a developer is easy to fall victim to. which is, and you gave it a really good name and I liked it. So it's information flooding, which is basically when the list of topics and skills that you're wanting or needing just becomes overwhelming. And you have that feeling of constantly being behind and like you're just not caught up. Oh, I've got to learn this. I've got to learn that. I think it's a great topic. I think a lot of people struggle with it. And like I said, that's what you're here to talk about. Super excited to get into it. But as always, and to kind of continue the conversation we were just having, we want to get to know you better. So are you okay if we play a game?
Sure, why not?
Okay, perfect. So this one is just, we're going to call it the five. And it's pretty simple. It's like Preston and I are going to ask you five questions. And all you have to do is answer them. But there's always this temptation of answering them and then wanting to explain. So don't explain anything. Just give your answer and then we'll move on to the next one. And then we'll come back at the end and we'll have time to talk about a few of them. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, sure. Preston, do you want to start?
Yep, sounds good. All right. So not counting just getting in the car or turning on the radio and whatever was already on, what was the last album you intentionally turned on and listened to for music?
Actually, I remember pretty well, since I love Avril Lavigne so much, I'm listening right now to her latest album that came out this year. It's called Love Sucks. Yeah, that was it, basically. I really enjoyed her music from when childhood on.
Nice. We're going to have something to talk about there then. all right. So if you could live inside any movie or book franchise, which one would you choose?
That's a tough question, but I think I would go with Lord of the Rings, being an elf and marrying Legolas.
Ah, there you go. I love it.
Nice. Okay. What is the most unusual thing that you enjoy eating?
Oh, well, I think I might be a little bit boring on that because I'm not really unusual, but I love noodles with eggs, like just putting everything together and heating it up a bit and then smashing everything together. And this tastes actually really good, and it has carbonates and egg white proteins. It's a perfect meal, actually.
So like you cook the eggs in the noodles?
The noodles I cook before, okay, and then I move everything together with the eggs.
Okay.
Like with smashed eggs together, yeah.
Okay. What video game or board game could you play every day and never get tired of?
Yes. I guess since I'm a 90s kid, I started playing Pokemon, and I still keep going with Pokemon. I love everything, and I played every edition so far, so I will still do that.
Nice. My son, he's 8. He has gotten hooked on Pokemon lately. And like, I played it a little bit growing up. Mm-hmm. And so I know like just enough that I can answer some of his questions, but mm-hmm. he talks to me about it all the time. And he asks me questions and I'm like, I don't know. So yeah, it's pretty funny.
Yeah.
All right. The last one, outside of programming and development, who is a famous hero of yours?
Actually, like these kind of questions I always answer with my grandmother and my brothers, actually. Especially my grandmother achieved so much in her life. And now she turned 93 and can look back to a really, really great life. Like she built up like 3 houses on her own with her husband. Wow. Has 6 grandchildren and handled like a lot when she was a little child. So I'm really proud of her, and I'm really, she's my hero basically for all of that, what she did.
That's incredible. So she actually like literally built the house herself?
Yes. Wow. I mean, like my grandfather was an electrician, so okay, they both could do a lot on their own. Of course, yeah, they still need to hire people to build it up a bit. But they did it like after the Second World War, they really built up a lot of stuff again on their own.
That's incredible. Do either of you have handyman skill? Like, I am so delinquent when it comes to handyman skills or anything. So I really admire people that can do that. Mm.
Mine are limited, but we did do a lot of work in our basement when we were finishing it. did some of the electrician work and laid flooring and painted and stuff, but it's pretty limited. I wish I could do more.
Now, okay, so back to Avril Lavigne, because I think I'm going to say we're around the same age then, because that I grew up with her as well. And it was sort of this, there really hadn't been anybody like her before her. And then she came along and I just remember thinking how cool she was and her music was so great. But yeah, I'm right there with you. I listened to her first two albums. I had them like memorized even, and just really loved her music. And then was excited by this last one because I thought it was kind of a return to those beginnings of her. So yeah, if anybody has not listened to Avril Lavigne's newest album, it is pretty good.
Absolutely. I like to second that on that part, that even the drummer from Blink-182 is playing with her now. And the bassist Mark is also having a song featured with her on this album. And that's why she's also going in this Blink-182 direction, which is also a great band I love. I really admire and love so much. So really, you should listen to that album. It's great.
Nice. Yeah. Are you an Avril fan, Preston?
I'm not against Avril Lavigne, but the only song that I remember of hers is Skater Boy. Growing up. So I don't know enough about her to really have an opinion, but
yeah. Yeah. So Preston, would you also live in Lord of the Rings and be an elf?
Well, you guys, I've never watched Lord of the Rings.
Oh no.
Not one of them. So my wife and I were actually talking about that recently, that we should probably watch them, but then we went to turn it on and it was like 3.5 hours long.
Yep.
And we were like, I don't know if I can do that. So, so I would have to go with something more like Harry Potter, or I don't know if either of you have read, there's a series called Fablehaven by Brandon Mull. But that's a pretty fun book series as well. So I'd probably go with one of those two.
Nice. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah.
But okay. So Martina, you'd be an elf though.
Yeah, absolutely. I would be one.
And you'd like with the bow and arrow and everything, or would you have like a dagger, or what would you do?
No, it would be a bow. Definitely. I always wanted to start at learning that actually.
Yeah.
But there's never enough time to do all of the stuff, but I really like that. Yeah.
Too busy running your marathons.
Yeah, and doing all the other things that you just listed, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, definitely. Okay, so on that note then, let's let's get into this next segment, because that's what you're here for, is to talk about Angular and what we're calling this information flooding. So it was really fun to get to know you though. Thank you for playing the game. You pass our game. Yeah. But
great.
So professionally speaking though, in addition to organizing all of those conferences that we listed and just being very passionate, you're a very passionate GDE and mentor, but you're also currently a senior developer advocate at Auth0. So do you get to work with Sam Julien very often?
Yes. Right now he's on parental leave, but yeah, he's of course there. And, but also with Anna Sitre and Sam Bellen, who are also quite famous, basically. Yeah.
Nice. That's such a good team then. Wow. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
But, okay. Absolutely. So what exactly do you do as a developer advocate for people who aren't familiar with that role?
Yeah, that's a great question. I asked that myself many, many times actually, since advocate or developer advocate is a term that you don't hear often, especially in Germany or in the surrounding area. So what is this actually all about? Basically, what we do is, like, especially like with the product that Auth0 has, a customer identity management, we raise the awareness of identity and security throughout the community. So we never really pitch Auth0 or talking too much about a product. We just go inside the community, go on conferences, creating contact, all things about identity and security. And then maybe this leads to, hey, she's working for Auth0 and Auth0 offers something out of the box like that. So maybe we should take a look at Auth0. And then, of course, like 2 years ago, Okta bought Auth0. So right now it's even called Auth0 by Okta, like the official term. So Okta is more like Workforce Identity Cloud. So we are advocating these. We're like going outside the world, getting product feedback, recollecting all the things developer maybe like, but hopefully also don't like, to even get more constructive feedback on that. And then bringing back to the engineering team. And so we can just, increase the developer experience, basically. Actually, I always love to tell it as an extended version of being a GDE, because as a GDE, you're also basically advocating for Angular.
Right.
But you as a normal GDE, you don't really make a lot of thoughts about strategy and how could I reach more people. You just go on conferences. It's fun. And you like to talk about Angular or any other Google product. But advocating, of course, is more focused on really strategically, like, okay, we want to enter this market, like the EMEA or maybe the Germany market more. So we really want to have attending conferences more in this region. So yeah, it's a lot to do actually, but it makes fun. I love it.
Yeah, I've seen lots of people out there. I follow lots of people. Sam and is one of them that are developer advocates, and it looks fun but super overwhelming to me. So every time I hear one of you talk about what you do, I'm like, oh, that's really cool, but kind of overwhelming. So that's really cool though. So I imagine there are people on the developer advocate team there, Auth0 and other teams, I guess, as well, but they kind of focus on maybe different technology areas or different frameworks. And so I imagine as an Angular GDE, a lot of times you focus on Angular. So how did you first get into Angular? How did you first get involved? Like, where were you in your career when you got involved with Angular?
Yeah, actually, like it feels so long ago. It was during my bachelor studies, like in the end. If I'm not lying, 2013 or 12, around that, I first got into Angular.js back then. But then during my master's studies, I got into Angular, because 2014, then Angular came out, 2016, but first announced in 14. And I didn't really work with Angular during my studies of computer science, but I really found it intriguing by the first glance, actually. My bachelor thesis was around Node.js. Back then it was 0.1, really like the first version of Node.js. And then of course JavaScript increased, like the usage of JavaScript increased more and more, even in the backend now as well. And then Angular.js came out, and this was really, I mean, I went through Knockout, Backbone, jQuery, all the stuff before. And then Angular.js was really something revolutionary at that point, at least. So I liked it from the first point on. So yeah, I would, long story short, at my studies, like during my study time, during my bachelor, I started taking a look at Angular.js, basically.
What is it? And I know that you do know other things, like I think C++, isn't that another language? Mm-hmm. Okay, so you have these other skills. And I remember listening to an episode, it was a different podcast called My Angular Story with Aaron Frost, and you were on there. And I just remember it standing out to me because he was so right. He said, sometimes people who know multiple languages or program in different areas, you know, they would fit into various communities, right? But he said that every once in a while, someone comes along that just seems to fit so well into one community. And he was really giving you the praise of being one of those people who just fits so well with Angular. It is you, and you are Angular in so many ways. But what is it that you loved and still love? You know, what is it that keeps you in Angular so much?
Yeah, thanks for the nice warming words, really flattering. So like just one first sentence regarding C++. Basically, I never really completely used C++. I just got into it during my master's thesis, like maybe to take a look if this is something for me. But it ever felt like my heart belongs in the front end world, into JavaScript. And I returned and worked as a front end developer at my first position. And yeah, and I knew already AngularJS and I liked it so much. And then with Angular, everything, at least as I found it, was just getting better. I love the usage of TypeScript in Angular. No other front end framework back then had that. I loved the idea of that Angular tried to solve all the best practices, like learn from the previous mistakes of AngularJS. I know React and Vue and all the other ones, they had also the concept of web components, but there was just so much stuff missing. One big, big advantage, at least for me in Angular, is that when I type ng-new and there is a project and there is already an HTTP client, there's already a routing, there's already like RxJS for handling asynchronous calls. I really don't want to take care of all these on my own. I'm really sick and tired of going on NPM and finding the right package for a problem, for some usual problem like doing an HTTP request or navigating through my application. I know that a lot of people would now hate me for that, what I said, like, yeah, but you lose the flexibility and it's so cool. And I love in React that I can get my own router and implement that. You get that point, definitely. You can do what you want. For me personally, I can just say, I love that it just works. Every puzzle fits in together. And when I write ng-update, like updating my current Angular version to the next one, Angular takes care for me that all the other packages like Angular HTTP package and the Angular router package and everything else just migrates with the core, with the Angular core framework. And this is, I don't know, maybe because I'm getting older and older, but I really don't want to spend so much time on NPM or where else to find the right package for my issue. This is the most thing like that also relates to the whole ecosystem and the tools you have for Angular. I mean, I know, like, for example, NX you can also use with the other front-end frameworks for sure as well. But like everything that involved like around Angular is really, really great. And yeah, I don't know, it's also the community. I mean, it's you two that you are doing so much great work in Angular. What I love, I know so many Angular community persons that are doing, they are inspiring. They don't spread hate or something like that. They are just there and inspire me as well. And I also always get the note that I inspire them, and I've never felt more welcome basically in this whole community. And yeah, I've never been really to other communities, to be really, really fair, but I found this one and I really like it. I this is my heart belongs to, yeah, more or less, but I really love it. Definitely.
Well,
this sounded too cheesy, but yeah.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. I agree with everything you said. So if anyone disagrees with you on like the packages already being selected, I'll be on your side, because that's one of the things that I love too. That it's all kind of batteries included. So I like that as well. So over the last several years, then, you know, you said you picked up Angular starting in college, and now several years down the road, like we talked about at the beginning, you're a speaker, an organizer, a mentor, a teacher. So you have all these things going on in your life, and that's like a lot of things to do. So how do you kind of deal with the weight of maybe expectations from, maybe they're not real expectations, but perceived expectations of needing to know all the latest features of Angular or other, you know, front-end development technologies? How do you kind of deal with that perceived expectation to always stay up to date?
That's a great question. And the answer is actually like, I don't know how I actually achieved that. It's just like, I am doing this. No, basically, it's never like I'm alone as a mentor or alone as a speaker or organizer. There's always other great persons surrounding me and supporting me, like being a speaker or being an organizer and helping me and maybe taking things off my plate on that part where I maybe do need to do other things and prioritize other things first. I think one big advantage is that I'm always really curious, like when there's something in Angular, for example, the signals right now, the standalone components, this I really eager to get these news and to just try it out immediately and to keep on just scrolling through the GitHub issues and then curiosity and really trying to figure out how this really works. This gives me a lot of energy back as well. It's not like that it's really exhausting or making me tired. It's bringing me a lot of energy back to just trying this immediately out. And at least when it comes to Angular, I mean, there is also like CSS stuff and also HTML stuff that also renews or like something inside the Chrome DevTools. You can't really keep up all of the things like in parallel to be always on the latest news, but like focusing on a couple of those parts and then focusing on these ones and then basically getting always, staying curious and just trying things out. And I also, of course, sometimes sit there on a Saturday and trying things out. I am not always that really strict on being the weekends off, but it also helps that my partner really is also into developing and programming. So we often do this together, basically. He's a .NET C# dev. So it really helps to also get the other perspective from another language and that he also is curious. And sometimes we just sit at the couch and trying out, how can you now migrate this to the standalone components? So just really cool, basically, yeah.
That is cool. So, okay, like I have to ask though, because when I think of my work days, I think of, I start, you know, and I'm there either by like 8 a.m., sometimes 9 a.m., usually 8 a.m. though, and I'll work till 4 or 5, depending on what I have going on after work. But that's my day. You know, like I'm focused on what I'm doing. I'm focused on my stories, on my tickets, on my tasks. And there's not really a whole lot of time to sit there and dedicate to what my curiosities are. So how are you carving out time and making sure that you've given yourself time for that learning and that growth?
I mean, basically it's all about, time management. I mean, I think it's completely usual that you feel constantly too much. Everything is just too much. And then you just go on Twitter and you see other tweets from other folks who just released the 16th blog post in a month. And you think, okay, how can you do that? I guess basically like what I always do is just really block time. Like, okay, hey, on Wednesday, I leave maybe work on 4 p.m. and then I reserve myself time for 2 hours. And I even block my sports in my calendar, to be real honest, that really this is my time. This is the me time. This is the time I spent now coding and experimenting with new features. And this is the time I work, basically. So, this is basically an advice I would give to everyone as well, to really block these times in the calendar. I mean, yes, sometimes you're just really tired and you really don't want to look now. You don't care about the latest feature of Angular right now because you're so tired. Then you should sleep because you always should listen to your body. But it helps like to just block the time in your calendar. And when it's over, then you also should maybe leave, like, of course, leave the computer and maybe take some rest. It's a good time management to basically, block the time on your calendar.
I've noticed that with a handful of people who we've interviewed, you all have this in common. There's a couple of things that you mentioned just now that I'm finding you have in common. One is that time management ability, that it's a skill. I think your organization, but sticking to it. I don't know if you've noticed this too, Preston, but even like the anybody we've interviewed from Narwhal has really emphasized that, mm-hmm. and it seems to be part of their work culture there. But also respecting your personal time and making sure that you have that me time, like you said, and not letting your work obligations or work stresses bleed into that, but really taking care of your body and yourself. So have you noticed that, Preston?
Yeah, I think so. And I really liked that you said, like, actually blocking the stuff off on your calendar. I'm pretty good at putting most things on my calendar because if I don't, like doctor's appointments, for example, if they're not on my calendar, I'm going to forget them. But I have never really thought about putting like exercise time on my calendar, or if I'm going to learn a new topic, I'm putting that on my calendar. I really like that because I think it's kind of like a kind of commits you to doing it almost. Like, obviously plans can change, but it's a little bit more solid of a plan than just like, oh yeah, it's tonight, maybe I'll get around to that type thing, which I think sometimes we fall into. So I really liked that you said that. But kind of related to that, like, you have all these different topics that you could learn every day. You know, you have different things that you choose to learn. Every Angular release, there's 2, 3, 4, 5 different topics that you could go into. So how do you choose which new topics you're going to use that time that you've blocked off on your calendar to learn?
Basically, like, when it comes now to Angular, I also constantly watching not only the major versions of Angular, but also the things in between. And like, the things in between aren't the big, big, huge things that are coming out now. So I like, there's a new, like, it's the next word, like 16 next is right now, but there's now 15.2, and 15.2 brings a couple of smaller improvements. And these things you can really, like, if you're already like on a stage, on a level of Angular that you know a lot about Angular and you develop with Angular like from time to time, then I don't think you need so much time to actually get into the new features from Angular, basically. Now signals, yes, this is a huge thing. Standalone was so slowly introduced into Angular that it was really easy to keep up with the pace. But maybe moving away from Angular and telling, yeah, but maybe you should also learn a backend language, and then you should maybe go into C#, and which is like whatever, more than 10 years old. Or maybe then you need to know maybe cloud, oh my God, like something like in the cloud, and then you need to know databases, oh, Postgres, NoSQL, whatnot. I think it's good to be honest with yourself that you can't do everything in parallel. I think it's good to know one of the frameworks, like first the decision front end or back end. I know you can call yourself full stack devs, but I experience always like the tendency is still that one side is more experienced, like either the front end or the back end, even though you call yourself full stack. So the first, so deciding that, and after maybe you decide the front end, then you should focus on one front end framework. And you should learn then in deep, because when you learn this in deep, even though you maybe watch React code or Vue or Quick or Solid or whatnot, you find similarities. So it's not like you have to learn all these front-end frameworks immediately, one in depth, and then you find similarities in other ones. And you can't know all the front-end frameworks in that kind of depth like you maybe have the expectation of yourself. So this is something you need to reflect and be honest to yourself. You just focus on one. And if this is a step you already taken, then I think you're already pretty good, because like focusing on one and keep updating yourself with that one is enough. There is enough time for doing that. And then maybe, like, for example, what I'm doing, I'm focusing right now, apart from that, video on web security, like identity web security. This is like a other deeper topic on mine. So basically I have two topics I really have a deep knowledge in. and that's enough. And this is something, again, honesty and being a little bit more self-reflective, there is just not enough time. And you need to understand that, I guess. And if you understood that, then it isn't that you also have a constant feeling that you're missing something. I always have that, oh, there's a tweet from someone, or Quick has now this and this feature. And I'm like, oh, I should really learn Quick. Or Rust is like compared to C++, the new awesome language. And I always see when I see Rust code, I think, oh, I should learn Rust. But then another voice inside my head comes to me and say, no, Martina, no, you have already made your decision to do that. I mean, this decision can change, all good, but basically you made already your decision, and this is Angular and web security.
I like that. But dig into that a little bit. I like where that's going, because you mentioned that pressure. You get on Twitter, you see other people making comments about another framework, or maybe not another framework, but just something within Angular that you feel like, oh, I've got to go learn that. But oh my gosh, I'm already learning this. And I got to tell you, like, I've never experienced another job, be that something right out of high school or something just to get me through college or a major, like an actual profession, like teaching. I've never had another job where I've felt such a sense of urgency to learn, just like I'm always behind, if that makes sense. And I don't know if that's unique to programming, but why do you think that is? Why do you think there is that sense of being behind and, oh, I've got to go learn this and I've got to go learn that? Like, what is it about programming that makes that feeling that's there?
That's a great question. I would split the answer into two parts. The first part is, and this is something I also don't understand and really observe from the last 5 years, that when I read a hiring document, like, hey, we want to have a senior dev, there are, so at least like in my region, or maybe a little bit biased in my own region bubble, but there are no jobs open for junior devs. It always has to be senior. And then it's like a senior Angular developer. Okay, good. But you have to learn CSS perfectly fine. You have to learn Docker really fine, because it also needs to get some knowledge about CI, CD. And then, of course, maybe Kubernetes and this and this and this. And also maybe some knowledge to React, because sometimes we use React in your company. And I don't know how one person could actually really fit all these criteria. And this is something I'm observing for the last 5 years. And this really scares me actually a lot, because I don't even like I'm developing now for over 10 years and I really still can't fit into this job description, basically, even though I would hopefully consider me a little bit as a senior. This is really, really, really frightened, actually. The other thing, which is basically a good thing, I mean, in no other world than in the software development world, things are always changing. We see it right now with Angular. Of course, I'm always coming back to Angular because it's my framework, but we see it right now in Angular. Standalone components are now there. We're making entry models obsolete. And now out of the sudden, we also doubting Zone.js regarding the change detection. And we may be introducing a complete different mental model with the signals that they maybe got from Solid and Swell. So, but this is a good thing, right? I mean, technology is always changing in a way. So we can use more web APIs. I mean, there is Project Fugu as well, like, for use for all the web API capabilities. The browser turned into an application platform that we basically can really develop application almost native, that feels almost like a native application. And this is a good thing, but the bad side on that is, of course, that we need developers who need to keep up with this pace and these changes. And this could definitely be overwhelming. Which also brings me to the point before, that at least focusing on one part, like having one topic you need to focus on and being the expert, and helps on that, to not getting too much distracted on what happens on the back end, what happens in the maybe database world or in the cloud world, which also evolving at that kind of pace. like just the front-end world. Even though I think the front-end world is a really special world. I mean, I don't think any other world really, maybe not front-end, but the web world, the web development world. I don't think any other maybe like robotic things, I don't think that they evolve so fast than the web world. But yeah, since we are all web developers, yeah, I think there is definitely always the constant feeling of missing and being too slow about it, even though, especially when we have a job to do and working 8 hours and there's a ticket. And of course, the ticket on the project we're working on could be just maybe some legacy code from a previous Angular version. So we miss all the new features. So it even feels more like we are missing something.
Yeah, I think that probably every web developer has felt that feeling that you two were talking about. But like, if we're putting in the work, which sometimes, like you said, is just our 8 hours at our full-time job, and then sometimes it's extra hours after. So we're putting in the work to learn and to do our very best. How can we make sure that we feel like those efforts that we're putting forth are sufficient? And then how can we help other people also realize that like that work that they're doing is enough, even if maybe they don't think that they're progressing as fast? Mm-hmm. How can we help ourselves feel like, okay, we're doing enough work and eventually our goals will be achieved, and help other people feel that?
It's a great question. And there was one word basically you said right now, this is achieving the goals. To be able to do that, you need to set some goals. And then I love creating plans and a lot of to-do lists a lot. So creating lists is always the best thing. I would always advise that to do to everyone as well. But basically, yeah, setting some goals. I have that sounds maybe a little bit ridiculous, but I have a private Scrum board on my own. I'm using Trello for that, for my private task, private learning task, private whatever task. And I'm doing a sprint for 1 week. And then I have a backlog. And it makes me feel so happy and really good if all my sprint items aren't done at the end of the week. And then on the bigger picture, I actually can see the bigger goals. So I may make always plans, basically. Of course, this is more like how to organize yourself, but this also could help in your job, of course, like when you know, okay, this my goal is now, I want to maybe learn dependency injection in Angular, because this is important. Or my goal is that I want to get more into state management in Angular, because this is really important to me. And of course, I would always, to help those people, I would always like get people to follow, mentor them. I know just one person, for example, that comes to my mind is Manfred Steyer. He always has a good nose what could be the next big thing, basically, in the web world or in the Angular world. So if you, for example, find those people and look what they are doing and what they're getting into, and this could be like the next thing, basically. And we, as maybe mentors or persons who know this, could tell these beginners or persons, basically find a mentor, find a person you follow along, and find basically a good mentor that helps you for guidance, for clear guidance on how to achieve your goals. And of course, telling what is basically important in the dev life, what is really important, because not all of the Angular things you need to know, of course. So basically, I would always try to find a mentor.
It's excellent advice. I was actually going to ask that, because you had mentioned juniors a little earlier. So I was going to ask, what advice would you give for juniors? But perfect. So yeah. But all right. Well, do you have any final thoughts? You know, just anything to wrap up, anything maybe we haven't covered, or just anything that you'd really like to nail home and make sure that people understand about this information flooding and always feeling like they have to learn more?
Yeah. I mean, like, I've seen so many advocates, I've seen so many GDEs, and one thing I just want to say is that all of them are still nervous when they're doing a talk. All of them have days they don't do anything because they're too burnt out. All of them feel constantly overwhelmed and constantly like they might not be good enough. So, and even myself, I'm struggling always from time to time, like I should do more. I really need to do more, even though like I was really like when you read the list in the beginning, like, hey, I'm doing this, it doesn't feel like that at all because I have constantly the feeling I should do more. Maybe if I'm doing something on the weekend, I could do more. So what I'm just trying to say on this part is that if you have these days, they will pass and there will be the next day, and set yourself really goals, but not too high. Don't try to put so much pressure on yourself. I love that there is a model. It's a mental model that's called 80-20, like in a sense of you're doing 80% of your time being productive, doing things, but you should also allow 20% just getting bored, not doing anything. I constantly have the feeling that we forget how to feel bored because we always like just to sit down, no smartphone, not anything at all, just to sit down and not doing anything and maybe getting the feeling of being bored. This is a feeling we don't have anymore. So right.
Yeah,
be really brave and be bored. This is really something I want to say, just sit down and not do anything for the time being.
I love that. Yeah. And we were just joking about that, I think, on our last episode about how the power went out. Like it's those days that when the power goes out, I dread the most because you don't have your cell phone. You don't have, I guess you do have your cell phone, but it's limited and you just don't have access to all of those comforts and, you know, things that we're so used to. But you're right. Pull out a book. Do a puzzle, something
yeah,
that's
absolutely
not connected to technology, but super good advice. I think that's really wise. Thank you so much for coming. This was a lot of fun and you always have such great tips and suggestions to give. I know I learned a lot. I feel inspired to go do more, but not at the same time. Like I think you shared such a good balance of taking care of self, but also being organized enough so that you can make sure that your schedule is, you know, targeted, I guess is a good way to say it. But if anybody would like to connect with you, I know you're pretty active on Twitter. So I would just say, if you'd like to chat with Martina, get to know her a little bit more, you can find her at Martina Kraus 11. So it's MARTINA KRAUS and then the number 11. And maybe you should go pop in some Avril Lavigne and turn on Lord of the Rings and, you know, watch Legolas and then you can put in some noodles with eggs as well while you're watching. Absolutely. Lord of the Rings, there we go, then you've got your whole night planned.
But. Yeah, great. It was a lot of fun as well from my side. Thanks for the invitation. I really, really enjoyed it.
Yep, no problem. Thank you again. And thank you everyone for listening. And we will catch you next time.
Thank you for listening to The Dev Life, an ngConf podcast. We would like to thank the ngConf organizers, Joe Eames and Aaron Frost, our sponsors, and our podcast editor and audio engineer, Patrick Hayes. You can hire him and find him everywhere on social media at Pat John Hayes. This podcast was mixed and mastered by Spoonful of Media. You can find out more information about their work and the services that they offer by going to spoonfulofmedia.com.